Let us pray. Father, I thank you for all who have tuned in to this service today. Father, I pray that we have put ourselves in an environment where it is conducive to receive the word, a word from the Lord. Father, and I pray that the word I share, Lord, is true. And I pray that, Lord, that you just prepare us all to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am starting a new series today on extreme makeovers, stay-at-home edition. You know, as we are sheltering in place, as we are restricted from our normal movement, we take time to reflect on things that we need to take care of. It might be something on your to-do list that has been on your to-do list for a long time, as it has been with me. You've taken the opportunity to take care of it. You've taken the opportunity to get rid of things that you no longer need, things you've been looking at for years. You take time to clean out their refrigerator. There might be something in there that's way out of date and might be harmful for you. So we take the opportunity to throw it away. But as we take the opportunity, as we are at home, let us also take the opportunity to examine our spiritual life. And I've seen these reality shows about extreme makeover, where somebody's house or home is in one condition, and the plea goes out to, let's fix this up, let's make it a better place. They don't change the location, but they change what's in the location. My brothers and sisters, what we need to change and examine is within our own same body. It's not a new body, but it's the same body. The thing is that we need to take off some old stuff occasionally and put on some new things. So we're coming from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at the 17th verse. In this passage, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, sharing with them and confirming to them that they are Christians. They have Christ within them, but not everybody believes that and not everybody walks in that way. And in the first part of chapter 4, he really talks about the unity that comes through Christ. And he goes on to tell them that, you know, God has given you everything the church needs, you know, for your correction, and God has given you everything you need as far as leadership. God has given you everything you need so you will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes your way. And then we go into the 17th verse is where we're starting today. And I like the way Paul lays this out, because he starts out with how we should not walk. You know, he talks about the old self. He talks about the negative aspects of Christian conduct. And as we look at that 17th verse, he says, this I say, therefore, testifying in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. You know, there comes a time in life that we can no longer follow the leader if the leader is not walking the right way. You know, those of us in Christ, we have a new leader, and that leader is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul says, you know, that you should no longer walk. Our conduct needs to change. We need to walk in purity and not allow the world to change or influence us. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2 reads, and he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And what he's telling the church is the way you used to walk was not a right walk. It was not a righteous walk. But now that you have accepted Christ, we need to examine ourselves and make sure we're still walking in the same way that we should be walking. Now it says, in the futility of their mind. Don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles. He's talking about those who have you not accepted Christ, but those who have professed Christ, but maybe don't believe in Christ or have fully conceptualized Christ in their mind and then their heart and then their spirit. He's telling them that don't walk like them. Now, that word futility means to be void of useful aim or goal. If they are futile because their minds could not receive God's revelation. You know, they haven't received Christ in their heart. Paul says in Romans, the book to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, he characterizes somebody like this by saying they profess to be wise, but they become fools. You know, they're trying to figure things out intellectually, but you know, they're not walking on faith. It's time to examine ourselves. And as we look at verse 18, it gives us a few reasons for the heathen's godless walk. Let's look at verse 18. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. You know, they are walking in the futility of their mind because their understanding has been darkened. Their minds are darkened because they believe lies and have not received the truth. They have become alienated from God. Well, that means that they are separated from God. They are spiritually dead through their own ignorance. You know, that's how those who do not walk with Christ are. They are ignorant due to their blindness in their hearts. Blindness of the hearts. Think about that. Hardness. They are dull. They are focusing on the wrong things. They are insensitive to God and his ways. We see a perfect example of this in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. You know, Jesus healed a man who had a withered hand, a crippled hand, and he grieved. Even though he healed this person, he grieved because of the hardness of the hearts of the Pharisees, the religious leaders at that time. He grieved because they were dull to the fact that he had healed a man, and they were focusing on the fact that he healed on the Sabbath day. They were focusing on the fact that he worked on the Lord's day, the day of rest. They could not see a miracle right in front of them. They were ignorant because of the blindness that was in their heart. Verse 19 talks about the practice of a person like this. Verse 19, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness to work in all uncleanness with greediness. Essentially, what this is saying is they have surrendered themselves to all kinds of sinfulness. You know, back in the day, there was a song by a group called BT Express, Do It Till You're Satisfied. My brothers and sisters, I think that song is still alive in a lot of people's hearts and mind. They want to do what they want to do, and they want to do it until they're satisfied. And unfortunately, they never become satisfied because the more they get, the more they want. Now, as we look at this passage, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness. They have surrendered themselves to do all kinds of sin. They are callous to the feelings of others. They are lustful. They are lewd. They have impurity in their spirit. They are unclean because of their lust. They are unclean. They are morally and spiritually impure. They are unclean with greediness. They indulge in sin with a greedy desire to have more. This is the nature of sinful desire. Again, their motto is, do it until you are satisfied. Amen. But I'm so glad that Paul did not leave us with the old man, even though he told us things that we need to examine. He was sharing this with the church at Ephesus, and he's sharing this with us today. He goes on to share the new man. He shares, this is how we ought to be. So as we put out the old, let's embrace the new. That starts with verse 20. He says, but you have not learned, so learn through Christ. What Paul is saying is, you know better. You know better. You do better. You know, as a child, sometimes I would get punished because I was the oldest child in the family. And I would be the one who got punished because I was supposed to know better. And that's how it is with our relationship with God, is those who know better should be doing better. So that's what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, is that he's telling them, you have heard the word, you have been taught, you know the gospel. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is not the way you were taught when you were taught and learned of Christ. It is possible to be a new person in Christ and yet be still living like the old person. In other words, it's just like somebody taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes without cleaning yourself up or taking a bath. So, but you have not so learned Christ. In verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What he's saying is, what you have learned after hearing of Jesus should have caused you to improve your lives. Christians ought to act like Christians, not like heathen. You know, every now and then we will go places and someone will say, there is something about your spirit. There is something about you that I can't put my finger on. It just might be because they recognize you as a child of God. They recognize the way you carry yourself as a child of God. They recognize the way that Christ just comes out of you. You know, we are God's representatives here on earth. And there's the old saying that says sometimes we might be the only Bible that others see. So let us act like we are of Christ. So again, verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So he's talking about taking off, putting off the former conduct, which is deceitful, which is lustful. Ephesians 2:3, Paul says earlier, among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Romans, Paul, again, flipping back to Romans, I want to share another supporting scripture to this. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 19. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So what Paul is acknowledging, that he knows that his flesh is weak. Now here's Paul, one of the greatest evangelists we see in the word, an apostle, but he is admitting that in the flesh, he still has those desires. He still has those evil desires, but through the grace of God, through the grace of God, as he said in another book, I am what I am through the grace of God. So in the grace of God. So again, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the, to the deceitful lust and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. That's that renewing process. Whenever you look at one of these extreme makeover shows, whether it's reshaping the way somebody dresses, reshaping their house, reshaping their neighborhood, we see a renewing process where they have to get rid of some old stuff to make room for the new stuff. Again, Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There's another saying we had back in the day, free your mind and your behind will follow. Now, you know, I changed the wording of that for the audience, but you know what I mean. If you free your mind, then everything else will follow. Ephesians 4, back to Ephesians chapter 4, the 24th verse, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. That's what God wants us to do. That's what this Christian walk is all about. It's a constant process. We have not arrived. And you know, if we ever get to the point where we think that we have arrived, where we think that we have learned enough, that we, where we think we have prayed enough, where we think that we have given enough, where we think that we have done enough goodwill, once we get to that point, my brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we are of little use to Christ. But we are a process. We are becoming like Christ. We will not get there in this lifetime, but we should always constantly seek opportunities to improve ourselves, improve how our conduct is. We need to improve ourselves by reading God's word, by asking him, Lord, what does this word say to me? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to take off? You know, sometimes we're so burdened with the old that there's no room for the new. We have to shed the old, just like taking off those old garments so we can have new garments so that we are seen in another light. And when I talk about garments, you know, I'm not talking about physically. You know, we look and see what's going on. We see some states are starting to open up and starting to allow people to come out and do things that we've been sheltered from for over a month. You know, I've heard people say that, you know, I really need to get my hair cut. I need to get my hair done. I need to do this. You know, all that is external, my brothers and sisters. That will come. It's time to take care of the internal. It's time to commune with God. The rest will come. Again, my brothers and sisters, it's time to examine where we are. It's time for an extreme makeover. And one other thing about these makeovers, the people don't often do them by themselves. So if you want to be made over, be open to allowing Jesus to walk with you, to walk with you during your makeover time period. Be open to allow other saints to walk with you and pray with you and encourage you. Be open to put off that we don't need anymore and put on that which is pleasing to God. My brothers and sisters, God bless you. I certainly hope and pray that this message will serve as an encouragement to you, not just today, but going forward. My prayer is that as we shelter in place, many of us, that we realize that this is an opportunity to examine some things. This is an opportunity to set things right. This is an opportunity to commune with our Savior. And I certainly pray that you take the opportunity to do that. We're here for you. We're praying for you. We love you and we care for you. Although we can't see you, we feel you. So therefore, my prayer is that we will continue to be together, regardless of what's going on outside of our homes. Continue to be faithful. Continue to know that you are God and we have you in our lives. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for this word that has been inspired by you, Father, and I thank you to be the vessel to deliver this word. Father, I pray for each and every one who is listening or watching, Father. I pray that you be with us. You know what we're going through. We pray that you will provide the answers to our questions. We pray that you will provide the solutions to our problems. We pray, Lord, that we acknowledge you as Lord and be guided by you as the main authority in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we're going to conclude this service today, as we did last week, by the song that was written and performed by Sister Phyllis Morrison, We Are the Church. So allow me to share my screen, and I pray that all is well with each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. Share the screen.